Memphis. Nothing but Memphis. Everywhere we go, it's Memphis. Memphis, Tennessee, the beautiful land in the world.
And I'm thankful for this guy who tweeted and said, I don't have that fire in my eyes no more. That game right there was for him. That's what I do. I prove people wrong each and every night, and that's for him right there.
Hi, this is Tom Izzo at Michigan State, and you're listening to Grizz 901.
What is up, Grizz Nation? Welcome to the Grizz 901 podcast. We're coming off a fresh Grizzlies loss from FedEx Forum, where the only thing worse than Ray Acosta's officiating is his haircut. That man needs to sue his barber. But it's all right. We're going to come here. We're going to give you good vibes. We're going to keep it good. I'm your host for tonight, Nate. Daniel is out. He was supposed to have a cabin trip. Got canceled because of the storm. Didn't matter. He's got a stomach bug anyway. So maybe Daniel can be the sacrificial lamb we need to get this team back up and running again. But we're going to be here after every game. Somebody's going to be here making sure that we keep you guys going, keep the team going. Again, we coming off a fresh loss tonight, but I'm not going to be alone tonight. I'm actually super excited for tonight because I get to bring on someone who is my personal favorite person to come and do a show with. I get to say that because Dad's not here, but bringing on our guy, the one and only host of the No Bluffing podcast, which we need to get those spaces going again. So in the comments, make sure we're peer pressuring today, but one Mr. Chris Ingram. Chris, no music today. They got rid of my pony music, so it's just no music. I don't know if we got a copyright thing or what, but I'm not allowed to play it. But thanks for coming on, man.
Man, what it do, Nate? Can you hear me, brother?
I got you.
Man, what is going on, man? DG, just he going through it, man. So shout out to him. He just a part of the Grizzlies injury list at this point. Cabin chip messed up. Stomach bug. I'm with him, though, because I got some over here myself that ran through our household, so. We here, dog. Honestly, we here.
Once you saw the injury report, I think everybody was a little bit sick tonight. So I think Daniel just got a little bit earlier than everyone else. He probably has insider info he chooses not to share with the class, but that's okay, you know, and it's good. We're going to keep it in here. We see you got a lot of our friends here in the chat. So keep it going. Stay in the chat. That's what's going to keep us going through this season, to be quite honest, is making sure that we stick together in some type of way. But can't bring up the chat without bringing up Streetcars of Memphis, and I got to get that ticker out of the way so you can see what I got going there. But Streetcars of Memphis, proud sponsor of the Grizz 901 comment section. They can go, listen, I'm about to pay off my car note. It's a very exciting time in the Qualls house. It means I can actually do something with it I really want to do. Streetcars of Memphis, as soon as I get back, can be the people that I call. But make sure you hit these guys up. They will take care of any of your automotive needs. They're going to get you taken care of. Obviously, they're friends of the show, which means they're friends of us, which means they're friends of yours. But there's regular maintenance all the way to modifications, speakers, lights, lifts, wheels, you name it, they'll modify them all. And for this month, just January, use code GRIZZ901, receive a $55 regular oil change or $65 synthetic oil change at cost. That's an oil change at cost. I don't know about you. I go to the Jiffy Lube down the street here in Utah. I'm not getting $55 oil change. So huge savings taking place at Streetcars of Memphis. Check them out online at 901scm.com or call 901-323-3332 to schedule oil change, maintenance, or customization service today. Listen, I'm still smoking Daniel on the ad reads, and we just got started doing it again. So got to keep it going. But be sure to check them out. They are friends of the show. Now, Chris, the game. I know you've got certain things you want to talk about with the game. I'm going to let you come off the top rope because I know there's really one thing in particular you're going to want to talk about. So bring it to us.
Man, you already know what it is with me. It's time to fire Taylor Jenkins, bro. Like, get him out of here.
I knew it. Yep. I was wondering if you're going to go like the fire Taylor Jenkins route or the praise GG route first. But come on, let's go.
Oh, you know that's coming, man. Now, I'm trolling with the Taylor Jenkins thing at this point. We all know we can just go ahead and cancel that whole conversation. I think it was you said it yesterday. I want to say, you know, us that don't think he's the guy, we got another year. It don't matter. He's buying enough time with these injuries. So I'm gonna leave him alone tonight. But yeah, man, GG Jackson, that's my dog, man. Like if y'all tapped into the No Bluffing podcast last summer, we did a couple of like pre-draft shows and things like that. And Gigi was my number one guy that I wanted at the pick that we had in the draft, like from the get-go. I was like, we ain't seen a talent of just a hooper like that in Memphis in a while. And maybe not even ever. Just natural hooping instinct outside of John. Like, we ain't seen nothing like that, especially at that size. So I didn't care that he was 18. I didn't care about none of that. And then you get Rafael Barlow. He came on this particular podcast as well. And he said this before pre-draft. He was like, yo, this is a guy that if he stayed, he said this last year. He said if this guy would have stayed in his draft class, he would have probably been a top five pick. He said this before Gigi stepped on any G League floor, NBA floor, anything like that. And he's starting to look like a genius with saying that. So Rafael Barlow, he's always done great work as far as pre-draft and things like that. But, I mean, he was spot on, bro. And if y'all watched our live show, that we did draft night, we had a lot of fun that night. Don't get me wrong, I think we was on there about 4 hours, maybe
too long.
But I will say this, like, it got to that second round where it was getting a little dry, and the only other guy that I kind of wanted to go was what's his name, he went to Denver, I'm forgetting his name right now, Julian Strong. Yeah, he was on my list for second round, and he got picked up. So I was like, all right, man, I'm done with this. I know we got the 45th pick. I did not realize that Gigi Jackson's name was Gregory Jackson. So if you watch that, when they announced it, I was like, bro, who the hell is Gregory Jackson? Like, what are y'all doing? And then we realized it was Gigi, and I just yelled. Like, I just shot out, and I was so excited, bro, because, like, it was just a pick that I didn't think that they were going to make. Like, you talk about the stuff that he had back in college as far as, like, just the stuff that was coming with him. I don't want to call it baggage, but, I mean, he was a young guy. He did some stuff that was maybe immature. And a team that's dealing with, you know, some immaturity issues, you know what I'm saying, from a PR standpoint. I didn't know if that was going to be a pick, but, man, shout out to them because they went ahead, they went against the grain and grabbed him. And I was a little bit against the way that they kind of, you know, did him as far as giving him a two-way and keeping him down in the G League, even through all the injuries we done had. But it's a point now. And I made a joke the other night, or was it yesterday? Matter of fact, on Twitter, I was like, it's crazy how Ty Lue had to put Gigi in the game. Like, it wasn't Taylor Jenkins, it was Ty Lue. Just got him out, you know, fresh. He ain't did no dribbling, no running, nothing. Just got him off the bench to go shoot some free throws with Desmond Bane, unfortunately, with that injury, bro. But I'm super excited to see what I saw from him tonight, you know, 20 points. What he does in the G League, and y'all got to see it tonight, like, it's going to translate in a real NBA game. You know what I'm saying? That's like, so him being able to get real NBA minutes against real NBA players, like, we can kill all that noise like we did with Junior. Like, you're starting to see he has the talent. He just got to get some of them jitterbugs out, and he's starting to do that. And so I'm excited to see what he's going to look like next to some, you know, real guys on our team going next year. So I probably went a little bit longer, man. I'm excited for Gigi, bro, for real.
That's all right. Listen, we know our guy in the comments is agreeing with you. Goon thinks Gigi should start over Jaren because Jaren's so trash. So listen, Gigi, honestly, awesome tonight. You know, we I think – they had a little nugget that he was the first since Andrew Bynum, like 2006. I'm going to double check that because we got some more Gigi stuff coming later in the show. But first since 2006 to get 20 and 5 in a game, or youngest, I'm sorry, since Andrew Bynum get 20 and 5 in a game. So that's since 2006. So awesome game for Gigi, man. And yeah, that live show was a ton of fun. I wore a tie, which was really silly of me to do for way too long. It's the first time I got called John Martin. So got that started there too. Shout out to Sane. But listen, man, Gigi, these young guys, besides the chat and us just keeping each other going, that's what we're gonna have to look for. The youth movement's what we're gonna have to look for. And you see guys like Gigi going, it's encouraging to see. I know it does give the Fire Taylor Jenkins crowd a little bit of, like, fire to keep going to, a little bit of hope because you can say, hey, where's this been? Why has this guy not been playing over Jaravia? Which Jake is now – we need yet another warm body. I need to figure out how to block this one, dude. It's Twitter, but so I can't block it. So I can block YouTube comments, but I can't block Twitter comments. So somebody's going to have to help me out, DG. Seeing guys like Gigi come in, I mean, he did a lot right tonight. It wasn't just the scoring, which he did really well, but he was finding ways to get boards, which were a hard thing to come by this game. But get there, make himself available, playing good defense, using his length. There's a lot of really good stuff tonight. And we're going to get to a lot of it later, but a big part of what we're going to be having going on is this youth movement. And I've got a couple of comments saved here because I think it's worth going into. There's going to be stuff like Vince, rough shooting night tonight. Really the entire team, rough shooting night tonight. I don't know how many threes they put up. It's got to be close to 40, if not over, and they only hit 9. So,
damn, for real?
It's going to be tough, but I saw some things about Luke Kennard being trash and stuff. You cannot judge, like, jump to any rash judgments on any of these guys. Any of these guys, including even the young guys, right? I mean, some of the young guys we've seen enough to kind of have an idea of what they're going to be. But a lot of these guys, none of them are playing in their role. None of them. None of these guys are supposed to be doing as much as they're going to be doing. So a lot of them aren't supposed to be playing on this team at all. They're supposed to be down in Southampton. Now, there's going to be some blessings in disguise out of that. Right? GG could be one of them. He's showed out tonight. He's looked good every opportunity he's gotten. Let's see if he keeps going. Vince has obviously made the most out of his opportunities, but
bro, his playmaking.
Dude, the alley-oop to GG had me going right before half. I had my Schmidt thing out there about the Knicks being tired of the youths after the first half. And clearly they were because they played a much more physical brand of basketball in the second half. But all these guys are going to get frustrated with Vince. When Santi gets back, you're going to get frustrated with Santi, Luke, Roddy, Laravia. Doesn't matter who's out there because none of them are going to be in the role we're supposed to be playing. And honestly, the most encouraging thing is you see Gigi go out there and still be able to create on an NBA floor. And that's really encouraging to see because you never know what's going to happen. And he stepped into a game and made the most out of it. Now, again, I want to see him do it consistently and stuff, but – everybody's been excited on GG, myself included, so it's good to see him get in this game. But this game in and of itself, just going with it, I thought they gave the Knicks everything they wanted that entire game. I mean, you have a couple of shots not fall for the Knicks and a couple of shots that do fall for the Grizz.
Right.
It's neck and neck, and this game could go either way. And unfortunately, your draft guy is GG. My draft guy is Miles McBride. Before David Roddy ever entered the chat, I loved Miles McBride at West Virginia, man. Dude, I was like, man, he's just a player. I hated that he has been buried on the Knicks bench. I've been for 2 years asking for him to get traded so he actually play.
Yeah.
Fortunately, tonight's the night I get proven right. So that's super fun for us. But
they're good at drafting young guards, bro.
They are. I mean, they just shipped out quickly. Who would guard anybody like to have, right? Yeah. They do a lot, but overall, the Grizz make some shots, and listen, they got a lot of good looks, even though it's not the guys you normally want shooting them, right? You don't want Zaire taking that many shots. You don't want Vince taking that many shots. A shot you normally would be okay with those guys shooting, right? Even Conchar, who went for Luke, who went over. So they could have easily gone a lot of different ways, and the biggest thing was activity on my part. Tillman, back-to-back games, just doing everything he can possibly do for this team. I mean, he was giving the bigs hell in the paint in the first half. Now, the second half, the Knicks came back and were just like, we're bigger than you. And we're going to be bigger than you.
Right.
First half, though, I thought he gave them everything he could handle. But as far as this game in particular goes, what did you think about just the team and how they played, energy, effort? Obviously, the bodies are just not what you normally want, the general talent.
I mean, it's giving me Jaren's rookie year vibes, bro. Like, that backstretch where everybody was injured as hell and – we start just bringing out people out 201 popular to play. Like, that's what it's starting to feel like. At some point, we're going to have to get some more bodies in, especially with Laravia going down. But my expectations from basically Bangle, I mean, expectations been probably cut off since the job situation, right? But then when you get the Marcus Smart situation happens, then you got Desmond Bain. Then you come in tonight, all of a sudden, Aaron got a weak contusion that they say he might be able to play on Monday. I'm like, if it's a contusion, bro, he probably ain't playing. I'm sorry. So, you know, whatever. Y'all can say whatever on the injury report. But I don't blame them. Like, it's going to be a little harder as far as the new CBA with, like, the tanking rules or whatever the verbiage that they used is. They got to, you know, have a legit injury or they're going to get fined. Like, I can't remember what team that was, like, in the last 2 weeks that got fined for just sitting players. But anyway, you can't do that. So, I came in tonight with just no expectations, just more so wanted just to see some good basketball, bro. And them guys just competing. Like, that's what we've been talking about this whole season. Like, when people have been talking about Marcus Smart is washed, he wasn't going to mesh well with this team back when we had Bane and Jaren out there with him. all these other just narratives that were popping up at the beginning of the season when them guys were just not playing the best basketball, the biggest thing was effort. And so you see, like, when you just give effort, it don't matter how many shots you put up. It don't matter, you know, if you're hitting them or not. Like, if you give effort every single night, you're going to compete in every single game. And that was an issue that we had up until probably right when Ja came back and them guys locked. And so to see young guys basically still, you know, fighting with that same fire, bro, that was encouraging as hell. And like I said, to see Vince, him out there, you know, playmaking, defending. Yeah, he may have not had the best shooting night, but, he, you know, they probably told him, hey, just go get your shot. Just don't worry about playing the role that we're going to have you playing when everybody's out there. Just, you know, try to work on your game out there. Obviously, Gigi, we already talked about him. A little lackluster performance, probably a lot of lackluster performance from Zaire. This is it's really like a prime opportunity for him to go ahead and like solidify himself, bro. But if it's going to be Vince and Gigi every night, yeah, man, that $4.8 million is going to be looking real good in the trade at some point. So outside of that, man, like the game, I was encouraged just to see, like I said, what I was looking for, which was Gigi and Vince. Anything else we got was just going to be a plus. But I am ready for them to go ahead and get, whether it be a two-way center or somebody, like just get them another big body to help X out, because he ain't going to be able to do this shit by himself the rest of the season. It's over.
Well, X is like – he's – some hybrid between a power forward and a center. He's not quite either. And so he can't be body. There. Yeah, he can't be there just trying to hold down the paint on his own. But there were some things that I did really like tonight. First off, we got Knicks fans in here. So listen, we have no pride left almost at this point. But glad to always have other fans in here. It's been kind of fun lately. It's been less trolls on the show and more so just guys that are fun to interact with. And some guys are fun to interact with. So it's pretty fun to have everybody here. But I want to bring up what Keith has. There was a lot more movement tonight than
that's it.
A lot. I know you have a way you want to go on this. I'm going to put it in your court. Where is it the rest of the time?
Let it fly. I mean, it's the mantra.
It drives me insane because it's something that is just like, okay, why can't you do that all the time with the rest of the system? Right? Exactly. And that's the kind of thing that I know you are definitely on this train too. And again, I've never been the guy to call for a coach's job whatsoever. So I'm not fully on that train. That's fine. You can say whatever you want to me about it. At the same time, I don't know like what it has to take for that to translate to the main Grizzlies team. And I think it's something that does need to translate. But at this point, We've seen it time and time and time again. Offense looks different when you don't have your guys in there.
Right.
In a good way. The only bad part is you don't have the guys that make the shots, right?
Right.
But you get open looks. Now, my question to you would be, are you getting those looks and you're getting all this good, these good looks because those guys can't make shots? And so other teams are just willing to let it happen? Or is it a completely different offense or somewhere in between?
I mean, like you said, and like Keith said, bro, it's just movement. Like, I don't know what conversation is happening either on the bench in game or at halftime in practice, before game, after game. I don't know what conversations is happening. But to me, that's like simple. Like, that's as simple as any of y'all that like have ever played intramural or played church league or AAU. Like, you could have this amazingly stacked basketball team. And you see it in football too a lot, in high school and college, where like, they'll be super duper talented, but they go play a team that's probably inferior to them talent wise, maybe even size wise, but just based off the method of movement and being a little technical with the way they're playing the game, they start beating your ass. And you're like, whoa, what's happening? Like, we supposed to be tearing these people up. What's happening? And so that's the thing with the Grizzlies. Like, when you put our roster on paper and then fight people on this that are not like diehard Grizz fans, like we are like the last 2-3 years, I'm like,
yeah,
just look at our roster on paper, bro. Like, we don't have a bad roster. So even this year, when people start talking about roster construction and stuff like that, like them buzzwords, bro, like our roster is not bad. They've been injured as hell, but that's about it. And you had a couple chemistry issues too, but like our roster on paper, they should be dominating most of the teams in the NBA, especially when we're talking about going fast forward to next year when they go, well, you would think they're going to be 100% healthy. Like, you put that team out on the floor, yes, Patrick St. Andrews and Taylor Jenkins, they can put this like beautifully made offensive scheme together to tell the guys to go out there. But I think it's got them maybe thinking too much. Like, just go hoop, bro. Just move around constantly. You got Ja Morant that's going to find you. I mean, I ain't seen the joggles as much as I have, you know, as much as we did his rookie year. Just move. Just get the hell out of the way. Just keep moving, and the ball will find you. And then you just hit the shots. Like, all this other technical stuff that we worried about, I think they're overthinking the game. And you got to see that again when Ja came back and starting all the guys were together. You start to see just common sense basketball. It wasn't as technical. And that's why, a lot of us that are on the Taylor Jenkins need to go train. A lot of this stuff is just too damn simple that's not being fixed. Like, if it was something like super, like, just extreme, okay, I can understand that. But a lot of the stuff that we point out a lot of time when it comes to him is just like small stuff that you would think can just be changed in a practice or a conversation. And that's one of the main ones. Energy, cutting, passing the ball. The ball has energy. Like, just it'll find you, bro. And you, if them guys, shout out to Marcus Savage, my guy, that started the whole Teen Titans thing for these little young guys. If the Teen Titans can do it, then I'm sorry. The Monstars, when they get out there, they should be able to do it too.
Well, and unfortunately, we're not going to get a chance to see Taylor Jenkins adjustments this year. It's not going to be a thing. It's turned into a free year for everybody. And he was trying to make some changes that look like some people. I know I got King Meeks. Appreciate him always hopping in the show. We're trying to say the Chris Vernon show is what lit a fire under Taylor. Like, I didn't give Chris the outline for that rant on the Grizz 9-1 postgame. Come on, this is a breaking news source for all Grizz stuff. We definitely aren't making stuff up as we go and just pulling stuff straight out our butts. That's definitely not what we're doing. Big task at hand. Again, appreciate having other fans in here. You've owned that you didn't love that win for the Knicks. That's the one thing I can't let you do, though. You can't come in a "we didn't have" comment. I appreciate you owning it. He already owned it. He said, you're right. Can't argue with that. So I appreciate it, but I've got to bring it up. You can't bring up that we were missing a guy when you're playing the Memphis Grizzlies in this year, the 2024 year of our Lord. Can't have it. But again, if you're just hopping into the show, coming off a loss in Memphis, Grizz drop one to the Knicks, where honestly, I think we both come on here and we said we actually like what we saw from the team. If they have some shots fall, Miles McBride isn't as awesome as I personally knew he was, then the Grizz might actually pull this one out. But it's all right. We got some youth movement. That's what's going to keep us going. Also, and our Streetcars of Memphis comment section, us being friends in here together is going to keep us going. But we are going to take a little bit of a break. We're going to come back, and you might have thought, hey, Daniel's not here. Nate doesn't like Grizz Trivia. And in fact, Nate hates Grizz Trivia. We're not going to do that tonight. You're wrong. I get to be on the other side of the aisle. We are going to do some Grizz Trivia tonight. It's going to be a fun one, though. I'm not going to come up with some lame one that Daniel likes to do. But in the meantime, we're going to play a bit of a longer commercial, give ourselves a break, and play something that I think is pretty relevant to right now. So be back right after the break.
I also see the game a little bit differently than everybody else. Like, I don't put a lot of – I guess because when you are a journeyman, role guy like myself in the league, the feeling side of it, I don't really get wrapped up in that.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of times we get too many people, they the feelings get so wrapped, like you're doing something to somebody. Like, it's personal. And this is a business, bro.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
And that's the mindset I try to tell all these young guys when you come in.
Mm-hmm.
The sport of basketball stops once you become a pro.
Yeah.
It becomes the business of basketball.
Yeah.
Make sure that you got guaranteed contracts. That's what I tell everybody. Don't get wrapped up on this team that's on the front, because this can change. You just want to make sure that this Jerry West logo, I got this little Nike. You want to make sure that Jerry West is on your jersey.
There's not an iron on.
Exactly.
It's sold in.
That is sold in.
Yeah.
That's what you have on you. And if you can keep that mindset, then you can, all of the outside bullshit, you won't even worry about what this person said about him. People look at me and say, I done had to do 5'10", play 12 years in the NBA. Was no big time scorer.
Mm-hmm.
Dude just was a good guy that played on his team. His teammates knew that he was going to be there for him. I wanted the next guy to be just as good. I wanted him to eat. What was my role going to be on that team?
Mm-hmm.
And then in the summertime, I go kick on people's ass in the summer.
Yeah.
And people always say, man, why you don't do this when you go back to the league? They don't ask me to do this.
Bro, you doing what's keeping that logo on your chest.
I'm doing what's keeping this logo right here. Mm-hmm. And then when I come in the summer, we're going to get it in.
Right.
That keeps my juices flowing until the next time.
That's what's up, man.
Tune in to The Anthony Sane Show, Wednesdays and Fridays at 12 p.m. weekly on the Bluff City Media YouTube channel.
Big shout out to The Anthony Sane Show. He'll be coming on twice a week now, or three times a week. So two or three times a week at this point.
Twice a week. Man, let me just say real quick, Nate. That is my probably. I don't watch too many like NBA podcasts or interviews like two or three times. Like you watch it live and that's it. That episode with Brevin, bro, I've watched that probably two or three times in full. So shout out to Sane and Brevin, bro. He need to get back on the show because that was amazing.
Dude, I was about to say, man, Sane has some of the best interviews in the business, and that one was awesome. I mean, seriously, you could watch it five times and learn something new every time. The way that Brevin has that just mind for the game is it makes me realize how basketball stupid I am. And I already know I'm a dumb guy, but dude, it like just Blake takes it to a whole nother level. But again, thanks for joining into the show. If you're new here in the comments, just hopping in, coming fresh off the loss. I'm sure you know that. But again, I think we would all tell you, big task, a win is a win. We know that here in Grizz Nation all too well. But coming off that loss to the Knicks, so that's okay. We're still finding a way to have some fun with it. We're still going to have a good time. And we're just saying, Nate hates Grizz trivia. But he's still going to do Grizz trivia because I am a company man, and we're going to make sure it happens. So, Chris, you get to be on the other side of the aisle this for once. I do think it's a fun one. It involves some stuff that you really like, maybe some names that you like. But we're going to go with the G.G. Jackson theme. Again, we're talking about youngest since Andrew Bynum to get 20-5. I think it was a 17-year record or 18-year record. That's pretty crazy, actually. I think it was 2006 is what somebody said. So I'm like, man, that's a while ago. But we're going to go with the rookie thing. And what I want you to tell me is, who are the Memphis Grizzlies that have the top five scores in the rookie year? So the most points scored in the rookie year, I want you to give me the top five, and I'll give you the numbers. 42, 37, 36, 34, and 33. There's some ties in there, but there's five names that can come with those numbers. I want you to give them to me.
OJ Mayo.
Yep.
Kenneth Lofton Jr.
Yep.
Is this including Vancouver too?
You said
2006. Oh, okay.
2006. Sharif? It was just since Andrew Bynum. Yep. Sharif's in there.
All right. So I got three. I'm going to say Pau.
Pau Gasol is not on the list. He's up there. He's, I think, sixth. No, he's seventh, actually.
Man, garbage. All right. all right. Hold on. We got OJ, Sharif. We got Kenny. So we need two more. Ja. Mm-hmm. Sorry. Ja Morant. I'm tripping.
No.
What? Okay, Jaren. No. Jaren's on there. Jaren
is on there. Jaren is on there. I know. I was shocked. Ja wasn't on here anywhere, but he's not.
Damn, we got one more. One more. Ah, Bane didn't have a crazy game.
Fun fact, Ja Morant's top scorers rookie year was 30. Top number of points he put in his rookie year. It's kind of crazy to think about because he dropped, I think, 42 his first game his second year. So
yeah. I mean, he had that play-in game. I want to say he scored a lot too, but –
they may not count play-ins. That may be it. But
pity.
You got one more. So you got Kenneth Lofton Jr., Sharif Abdul-Rahim, Jaren Jackson, OJ Mayo. There's one more left. I want to see if the chat can get it before you. It so far has not been in there yet.
Jeez. Dang, that's a tough one, bro. Dang.
Let me know if you want hints. I'm happy to give them.
Hold on. I'm running down the. It definitely wasn't Mark, not his rookie year. Not Rudy. I don't know, bro. I take the L on this one. I don't know.
All right. I'm going to give you two hints. It's a name that we know and love, for sure know and love. You could say that his career has been rocketing this year to new heights as far as three-point percentage goes.
No effing way Dylan Brooks is on that list.
It is Dylan Brooks. He's actually tied for the third highest with 36 in 2018.
Sorry, man. Anyway.
Listen, I knew you'd love OJ Mayo. You love the G.G. Jackson reference. And then I got the Dylan Brooks reference. There's a little bit of something in there for me.
Had to squeeze them in, didn't you?
Yep. And then we got a few people that I think were putting it in the chat as we were going. D'Angelo, we'll give it to you just because you got the name in there at some point. We got this and this. Thank you all for chat, for participating. But listen, I had to get a little something for me. I had to enjoy Grizz trivia.
That was a good one, bro.
There's zero chance. I knew you would probably get 4 out of 5. I know however long it took. Zero chance.
You know how I went picking Dylan, bro? No. Dylan, bro. His rookie year? Like, no.
For anybody new to the show this year, Chris is the biggest Dylan Brooks fan to ever grace Grizz Nation. There was no one more upset when they didn't re-sign him this year than Chris. So if we could get some like crying emojis in the chat, just a little bit of mourning for Chris. I know he misses our guy DB really bad. Honestly, at this point, he is an upgrade, but I'm sure he would have broken his ankle if he was still on the team. That's the way it's going. But again, welcome back to the Grizz 901 podcast post-game show. If you're just hopping in, coming off this loss, but it's okay. The loss isn't all we have. We got a bunch of youth that we're all really excited about. We hit on that. Again, we just hit on again with the GG Jackson reference. We got a lot of good stuff going. Again, thought the team played really well tonight, so got to give them their flowers. That you know, they at least for the effort, give them their flowers. And speaking of which, Chris, did you know that Pews now does lawn care? I thought they just did flowers. I certainly send flowers to my grandma every year from Pews, but at this point, it is not just that. They also do lawn care. They can take care of all your lawn and maintenance needs. They are happy to take care of all of it for you. So Pews, from flower shop to commercial landscape maintenance, been around for 30 plus years. So in the Mid-South, again, like 15 of those. I've been sending flowers to my grandmother using them. So shout out to Pews for making it. You can also set up on automation, by the way. That actually is a huge tip. If you don't know that, Pews can automatically send flowers. So if you're like me and ADD, clearly you don't forget it. But they now do residential lawn maintenance. They can take care of weed control, fertilization needs. If you want to create the perfect weed-free lawn, call Pews Residential Spray today for a free estimate, 901-633-2118, and let them know that the Grizz 901 crew sent you. And remember, Pews, you get big company strength, small company values. So thank you for Pews for being a proud sponsor of Grizz 901. We're going to get back to our Streetcar of Memphis comment section here for a minute. But D'Angelo saying that they got it earlier and I missed it. Sorry. I'm sorry. I apologize. But again, a lot of youth movement. But want to look ahead because we've got a big game for Memphis coming up. It's a big game every year. I actually want to do one, talk about the game because obviously it's important. But two, you and I haven't had a chance to really get on here and talk a ton yet about just the state of the Grizzlies now and moving forward. So a bit of a season-long preview as well. But again, big game, MLK Day games, huge moment for the city. Obviously, it's exciting to have that game regardless of the roster that we have put together. So, Chris, we got the Warriors coming to town, who honestly, I would expect the Grizzlies to beat the absolute piss out of until they turn into the Memphis Hustle. So, what are you thinking about this game coming up? You excited? You hopeful? Or are you just ready to watch a good game?
Man, it's something about – it's two times a year that – the Grizz just feel different if you're a Memphis fan. It's always been for me, number one, the Martin Luther King game, just because when I was in school, like Southwind was always feel like playing in the Martin Luther King game, like the high school games they had like early on in the day. So getting to see high school out there and play on the you know, on the FedEx Forum floor, that's always been a dope just tournament slash basketball thing to sit there and watch. But then everything that's going on within the city, like everybody is coming in the symposiums and the legends that come into the city, it just always been a different feel if you go into the game. And even if you're watching it at home, bro, it's just, I don't know, it's just got a different feel always to that game. And so the second one would be anybody that's like Kojic, the Church of God in Christ, like that denomination when it comes to like church or whatever. But anyway, that is big convention called the Convocation that comes in like November. And it feels like every time they would come, when they left the very next Grizz game, like they just blew the top off of the Forum or the Pyramid back in the day. So like those are always just two like just like special moments, I feel like, as far as being a Grizz fan during the season. And I won't be able to make it this year, man, but I'm excited for it no matter what. Like, we down bodies, but I think they still gonna go out there and compete. and it's be probably snow on the ground. So that, I mean, y'all be safe. Y'all know Memphis drivers can't drive anyway. So you had some ice and snow to it. Yeah, you might be in for it trying to get down to the Forum. But I think, you know, no matter what, just the meaning behind the game and things like that, them guys are going to go out there and lay a goose egg. And I'm just excited to see GG hoop some more. So shout out to him being able to do this, hopefully being able to cook on national TV and get some buzz behind him.
Yeah, and listen, between Memphis drivers and Utah drivers, I'm constantly worried about my safety on the roads. But give a shout out to Dak. Stay safe at work. Don't get fired for the show. But appreciate you coming and giving us a shout out and happening in when Daniel's not here, which is the most fun we can have. We got D'Angelo in the chat talking about the amount of threes the Warriors will make. Maybe, but they're pissed off at their team for a reason. So it's not the Warriors of old. Now, everybody on that team can pretty much make threes. So it is a concern, legitimate concern. But we saw a lot of good effort from the Grizz tonight. And I thought, honestly, they defended really well. They just, I mean, you had 9 good bodies coming into the game, I think. 8 after the first quarter because Jaravia is out. So all of a sudden,
quick,
it's you're dealing with 8-man rotation for the whole game of guys who do not get this kind of run typically. So, I would say, one, it was really good defensive effort, I thought, until their legs gave out.
Yeah.
And there's a chance of reinforcements. That brings up this next comment. I don't think we've gotten a true medical update. Dez was listed as out for this game. I don't think we'll get an update until, like, I don't know if they'll do an update on a Sunday, but Monday, probably, if I had to guess of exactly where that's at and what they're estimating. So I would imagine he's out for at least a few weeks. I'd say 3 minimum. I haven't seen, I know there's a bunch of Twitter doctors out there that can handle this, but I don't know what it would be. But
did he have a boot on tonight?
He came in crutches. I don't know if he had a boot. He was on crutches tonight. So not the best look. It's honestly kind of what was to be expected after the way his ankle rolled last game. I mean, Desmond Bain is also not a guy that comes out of games. I mean, we've seen that dude get banged up a lot and keep playing. So, I imagine it's kind of rough. But all that to say, I do think we could get some reinforcements on the way. Santi's been out for a few games now. We'll see. Like you were saying earlier, it's a contusion. We'll see what ends up happening. Jaren's had that contusion for a while and played. So I can't imagine they let the Warriors come into Memphis on MLK Day, nationally televised game, have a Jaren that can play and not throw him out there. Right. Yeah. Unless it's truly like, hey, it could get a lot worse. If it's not that situation, he's going to play, in my opinion. Right. So if he can't make the injury worse, see that. Jaren, with the way he's been playing, matchup nightmare for that team. I mean, it's like they got Looney, but we saw what he did to Nurkic and AD. Looney does not have the feet to keep up with. And Looney's a really good center and stuff. So, you know, we'll see what ends up happening, but he's a total mismatch for that team. And it gives the other guys a little bit more of a step back into their normal roles, if you get that. Right. It's guys who can play off of someone else, which means all the good we saw tonight, and there was quite a bit of good, is going to be just exasperated even more because they're going to be playing in their more normal roles. And like our girl, Grizz Girl 179 saying, we would love to see the junior Grizzlies beat the Warriors. Honestly, one step closer to Steve Kerr being completely exposed as a phony. I saw someone in the chat put Steve Kerr for the Grizzlies. This is the wrong show. This is the wrong show. Kai, you come in here a lot. Actually, I found your comics. I had it saved. Appreciate you coming in. Love having you here in the show. But this is the wrong show for Steve Kerr Promotions.
You're going to get Nate an aneurysm.
Cannot have it. I will blow an absolute gasket. There is no one that I in the NBA I probably like less, including like the Draymond Greens and Chris Pauls of the world. So, yeah, let's not do that. But he gets exposed on national television. Double win for the Grizzlies. But truth is, and we're talking about this last game, there probably shouldn't be a game the rest of the year until you get one of or both Smart and Bane back that the Grizzlies are favored in. I mean, truly, like maybe if they have Detroit at home, then maybe in that case. Honestly, I was saying like the Hornets just got their superstar back and got clocked by 36 or something the other night. So maybe there's a chance just from purely culture and good basketball that the Grizz get some, but truly, I don't think they should be favored in basically any game. So This one, they will be underdogs, rightfully so. Your plan is still against Steph Curry, Draymond Green. Might be back. Do we know? I imagine it's the kind of game he would try and come back for. And the NBA doesn't want to suspend him. Adam Silver's probably afraid he'll show up at his house or something. But do we know he's going to be back?
I want to say when they announced it, bro, they were like he was going to ramp up to make that game back. I may be wrong, but I feel like I read that somewhere or heard it somewhere. So I wouldn't be surprised.
Dude, you know what I would expect if he is? And I think it'd be awesome. Either a Draymond, Vince Williams, or Draymond Tillman moment. How much – I would love the Draymond Tillman moment. I could totally see it happening.
I want to see Vince, bro. Like, Vince, that dude is a lunatic, bro. Like, psychopath. I knew something was wrong with him. If y'all go back to his, like, when he got drafted, bro, it's like he wasn't supposed to be up there. Like, everybody was dressed in suits and shit. Vince came up there, like, he just left 7 period with, like, a t-shirt, some jeans on. Like, bro, I ain't even supposed to be here. Like, just laughing, giggling on every, like the most unserious thing. And so like the way that he kind of was moving on the court was kind of drunk. Like I was like, this dude, I don't, I ain't seen nothing yet. So I ain't gonna, you know, make an assumption, but like, bro, like he's a lunatic. Like he was wrong with him to be that happy off court. And when he get on the court, he's just like in everybody's face talking crap the whole game. I would love to see him just get Draymond thrown out the league Monday night, man. That'd be crazy.
Listen, what we need, honestly, just for the show's sake, is a huge Vince game where he pushes the team over the top to a win, hopefully Monday night, because then we can just have a whole sector and comment section. We'll want you in this too. Favorite Vince Williams moment. Because mine, personally, you've got yours. Mine is when he literally skipped on the court in that game against the Pelicans for the final defensive possession. He came in the game literally doing this, like speed skipping, like he was doing a track warm-up into the game to lock him down for one possession. And I was like, oh, this dude's an actual psychopath. He is. He's actually an actual crazy person.
See, Dylan be playing psycho. That's what people get Dylan messed up. Dylan be playing a character. Vince has got a screw loose, bro. Something wrong with dude.
Yeah. Like he's but a dude you're hanging out with at the bowling alley, you're hanging out with at the arcade, wherever you're going, just going out to dinner. And he's just kind of like, you see his mind every once in a while. He's just looking, staring. And you see him just do this. He's probably doing one of these little things and says, like, and you're like, he has just played out a whole scenario in his head never happen. Yes. That's Vince Williams. It is. It would be awesome, man. But to see that or the one with Tillman, it would be really, really fun. But we'll see what happens. Again, I think the entire season is just watch what happens, right? It's not full tank mode. There's no reason to go full tank mode. You don't have the players to usually win anyways. Yeah. There should be a lot of fun. We saw a lot of good cutting tonight. Awesome defensive activity. I mean, it is a lot of guys playing for minutes. So I think it'll be fun. If I'm going to be honest, I imagine it ends in a Grizzlies loss unless Jaren's back and has like a freako game, which he could 100% do, but he'll have to go for a career high. But Chris, what do you think? Final thoughts on this last game? Do you have any predictions or sort of just see what we see?
Yeah, like you said, Jaren is, I mean, if he injured at all, I don't need to see him doing all this crazy stuff from the three-point line. Like, they don't have the size to guard him. If you can just feed him early in the shot clock, get him, you know, get him post position, let him work whoever's guarding him at that point. I think he's, you know, getting better at the double team passing out of that. Just let him, you know, facilitate from that spot. Let these guys, you know, take these open shots and see what happens, bro. But I think, like you said, if he can just have a game that's, you know, anywhere from 35, 40 points and these guys just play hard like they played tonight, he's got help. Like, GG, again, GG, he can build off of what you saw tonight. Vince is going to be Vince. They got a chance, bro, especially if Draymond ain't playing. If he ain't out there just, like you said, grabbing ass and grabbing nuts and stuff, like, I think they got a chance. So we'll see what happens.
And we I'll bring this comment up because I was going to bring up a little Jake dig. I mean, are you sure GG was a better option than Jake? But Keith, again, all-time good guy, obviously a much better guy than me. Feeling bad for Jake. I do genuinely feel bad that he's always hurt because you don't ever want to see anybody get hurt, no matter how bad they are.
I want to see what the announcement is going to be on his injury because he always got this weird stuff that is his big index right pinky nail toe or like something weird.
Laceration. It's like he developed a fungus mid-game. It really is like crazy stuff. That's why I feel bad. It's like, dude, now he has to go with the Kareem rec specs. And, dude, you can only pull those off if you're Kareem. That's the only way. Crazy. So I do feel genuinely bad. We do have a David Vickers prediction. Kennard, 11, 13, three-pointers.
We'll see.
If he knocks down 11 threes and Jaren's back, I reverse my prediction. Grizz win. Grizz by 50 if that happens. So, listen, it could happen. But, listen, we're going to take a short break. We'll be back on the other side. And we're going to talk about a little bit of Chris's thoughts on the rest of the season. Again, Chris, one of the best basketball minds in Memphis media. Love hearing his ideas around trades, roster construction. Get onto all that here in just a second after the break.
Has FAU somersaulted over a lot of other teams as like your most aggravating fan base?
Oh, easily. They just think they are so elite because they made this one run. You won this one fluky ass game where there were six or seven different calls. Everyone were up in arms about like, what are we talking about? And it's not like a thing where they're like, hey, Memphis, great game. You guys are great competitors. I can't wait to see what the future holds between us. Because if they said that, I would respect them. I don't respect FAU fans. I don't.
Tune in to Tigers Untapped with TJ Willis and Trey Lasley every Wednesday at 3 p.m. on the Bluff City Media YouTube channel.
Always love the Tigers fans, man. Always mad at something. It's always my comment. But listen, hey, Penny's got those guys playing. I know there's a lot of Tigers fans that are not happy about the way they've been winning. But if you've been a fan of Tigers teams past, just be really happy they're winning. They had through an absolute gauntlet of an away and neutral game schedule, the battle for Atlantis. They had some really good wins in there too. Texas A&M just knocked off Kentucky at night, which is good for Memphis. So, listen, Penny has those boys playing. They play again tomorrow afternoon, I think, at some point. But I think they're back in action. Be sure to check them out. Be sure to check out all of our different shows and content here at Bluff City Media. Awesome stuff. Tigers Untapped, On the Bluff, the Anthony Sane Show. All kinds of different shows covering the Tigers and the Grizzlies. And, you know, Grizzlies stuff, there's going to be a – we're going to have to find ways to make it fun, which I think we're accomplishing all right tonight. But Tiger stuff, go check it all out. Great Tigers year, and they have a chance to make a real run, so check it out. But want to get in here and talk with you a little bit more about this team a little bit for the rest of this year, what it looks like. But you are my trade machine guy. And I think, in my opinion, this year, it's kind of – there's not enough moves that could be made. You could not do enough roster reconstruction to make even, and in my opinion, the playoffs at this point, much less a real championship run. So with that, you know all this stuff way better than I do. Are there moves to be made this year still, or is it more so looking forward at this point?
I think you can do both, bro. Like, you and we in the same group chat. Group chat. And for the last couple of weeks, man, like, my two main pieces of trying to do some moves has been Steven Adams with his contract, you know, being expiring next year. And then Luke Kennard just having, like, you know, the money to make something work where you can get back a fourth piece. I think that's going to be the next step for me, and you know, in my personal opinion, to get the Grizzlies where they need to be. It's just to get that fourth piece. It don't have to be Mikhail, in my opinion. Like, if we get Mikhail, I mean, I'm going to run out the house with my shirt off, maybe even my pants off. I mean, because you can probably write us down for a championship if we get something of that caliber. A Jeremy Grant, you know what I'm saying? Something like that. That'll be amazing. Do I think you need that? I don't. I think it's guys that are maybe a tier below that you can maybe go get to put these guys twofold, right? I think if you get a guy that's a tier below that level of fourth piece, I think it still puts you in a place where you're not going to win games this year. Nothing crazy like that. You're still going to probably be around the same range as far as your the standards or whatever, which is going to keep your pick in a certain place. Obviously, you're going to have a pick on the table, you know, if you're trying to make some moves. But to get back on track, that was my mindset. Luke and Steve, let's see what we can get to get a fourth piece. Now, John Zapp, Smart could, I mean, he's going to be out past the All-Star break. You got to see it. I think DeMichael Cole was on the same show yesterday, and he was saying, look, that 4 to 6 week window is more so just for the finger to heal. That's not even getting, you know, on the court and, you know, getting his shot back. Cause I mean, it's, it may take some time. And so you got the smart injury. We don't know how long Bane's going to be out. It's a lot going on, bro. So I say keep Steve-O, because if all these guys are going to be hurt, let them all heal up and come back next year and see what you got. And so at this point, I've only other mindset that you make a move for the future if the price is right. And what I mean by that is, like, I'm not a whole, I'm not the island that we need to wait to the offseason, because the Grizzlies haven't shown me personally that they're willing to go out there and do something big in the offseason. You can wait to the, you know, the draft, but again, they haven't done that really. They just traded a few guys in and out, maybe to move up some spots and some drafting or something like that. If the deal is right there that you can make it right now before or at the deadline, I say you go ahead and get that fourth piece and just let them get acquainted to the team, the system, everything like that. That way you got the summer to, you know, basically get them acclimated with the guys, get them in the offense and things like that. And you go in the year with a stronger roster. If you can't though, like, who cares? Just let the young guys develop. Let them basically battle it out. It's basically Squid Game Grizzlies to see who's going to be on this roster going forward. And I mean, I don't want to even just say from tonight. I mean, it's been kind of clear for me personally to be, because they just give him a contract. He's been playing his ass. So, yep. But DG's talent, you've been able to see already. So him just making it work on the court. I'm sorry, Roddy. I'm sorry, Zaire and LaRavia. I mean, even Conchard. Like, Conchard got a DMP last night. Did he get a DMP last night?
I don't think so. I think he got pretty minor minutes. I think, honestly, that's something you're going to be seeing as they try and look at these younger guys. So right now, it's not going to matter, because it's like, do your legs work. Go play basketball. Yeah. Like, that's where we're at. So, but yeah. I think if somebody's going to start losing minutes, it is going to be Conchard, because at this point, it's what do we have? So
yeah, we got too many wings, bro. Like, go ahead and move them out. That I know the big thing is last week was, you know, talks about Kai Jones or Trey Jimison being that third two-way spot to replace Vince. You need to get some type of developmental big in here, one, to help them guys out in games now, but then two, just to have on your radar. That way he's coming up in the ranks just at the center position, like a Vince has done or like a Gigi has done. And from there, I mean, you're going to have some type of injury exception get granted. I would say go get a veteran point guard, because, okay, I'm sorry, bro. Let me just put this out there. Jacob Gilliard, I love him as a person. He needs to go to a Memphis barber today. I'm sick of seeing the Fred Sanford haircut. Like, this is really getting pitiful, bro. But I love him. Like, he's a great guy to have on the roster, but we got to be serious. Like, he, like, bro, at 5'8", like, are we developing him, or is he what he is, and this is just a cool story at this point? Like, it's really a waste of a spot. Like, if you're going to, like, he's not going to make the main roster. Like, he's just not. I think you need to be serious about that two-way spot and put somebody that's going to actually get some development time, whoever it is, a guard, a wing, whoever. So go get you a real point guard to go, you know, help these guys develop, you know, for these last 43 games that we got coming up, and just see where you land. That's kind of where I'm at this point.
The only person whose hair was worse than poor Gilliard is Ray Acosta. Ray Acosta got the true, like, oh, put the oatmeal bowl in the head and just around, man. It was like, it was brutal. It was pretty bad. I was going to leave it alone, and then he just pissed me off, because it's what Ray Acosta does. But listen, I tend to agree. And honestly, like, the name has been floating around Grizz Twitter, Trey Jameson. Would love Trey Jameson. I actually, one of my best friend from college is a huge, like, season ticket holder at UAB. And love Trey Jameson. He's like, somebody's going to end up signing the dude. He's like, he's not going to get any points for you, but he will make it every rebound in the gym in a game. And he's just a freaking freak of nature. So would love to see that for Memphis. Guard play, I'm with you on that. Like, Gilliard is out there just because we don't have anyone else. I will say, I don't know who you go bring up. Like, is there a G League guard you want to go get? If so, okay, right? That might be something worth doing. My only thing is he actually is a pure point guard. Like, he's not going to be a massive threat, but he can get other guys in position and set them up. And to be honest, in my end, that's all I want. It's really all I want at this point, because all I want is to see what these other guys can do. And a guy like Gilliard can set them up to actually be in their spot, right? It's not like he's amazing, but listen, he might be the second best three-point shooter we have left at this point, you know? And so for me, I think your need long-term is bigs and wings.
Mm-hmm.
Bigs and wings. Like guard play, you're set up. And wings, we hope Gigi or Vince or Roddy or Zaire some turns into one of these guys that can be a true like rotation guy, can rely on them, really rely on them on the big moments. None of them are there yet. None of them. I mean, we're super excited about what we saw from Gigi Jackson tonight, what we've been seeing from him in the G League. By the way, you guys at NBA Micah, best guy covering the hustle. Check out everything he's got. Give him a follow on Twitter at NBA Mike, M-Y-K-E. He's been covering all this stuff. The Gigi stuff is no surprise to anyone who's been following Mike's work. So go check him out. But excited about what we've been seeing from him in the G League. At the same time, we don't know that it's going to pan out yet. So I'm with you on, okay, if you're going to make any kind of real moves, like it's only next year focused, and if it so happens to be this year, then great. And it's the same thing. What moves the needle? And like you and me both have loved Jeremy Grant for forever. Like if that's something you do, awesome. I do think there's always more names that keep popping up on the market. So I, especially now, in no hurry to see anything, like what happens in Atlanta? Who are they going to end up being who's selling on? You know, even the Warriors are going to be in sell mode, which you probably can't get a premier piece from the Warriors for much, but you might be able to hop in there as a third team and get somebody like a Moses Moody or something who they just seem to be off on.
They done.
Steve Kerr can't actually coach. So what ends up happening there? The Nets, there's a lot of names that could be out there and the Grizzlies could make moves.
Yeah.
But you're just making it because it helps you next year and it fits with the team next year. So, but I still think it's all wings and bigs focused. And even on the big market, like I see this is actually a name I really like. Kevon Looney. Love it. It's the same thing I said, and me and Danny were getting into this. You don't trade for another starting big unless you think you are moving on from Steven Adams.
Yeah.
So even in the big department, I just want to target a good backup big. That can be there if Steve-O's not there, can be rebounds. And that way you're not throwing X on Isaiah Hartenstein or something like that, right? Like, and so you just want somebody who honestly can rim protect and get rebounds. I could care less about anything else you do. That's why Biz was good sometimes and bad others.
I was about to say, be careful what you say, because Biz, boy, last time I was on this show, I gave that boy credit, and shit, right after that, he just started stinking. I was like, dang.
it's the thing where I think it was you that maybe that was questioning his birth certificate, but we saw the old age. Bro, that's right. Saw the old age keeping up. Somebody was questioning the birth certificate. And like that's like, but when he was feeling spry on a given night and fresh, he could rim protect and get you rebounds. And that's all this team really needs in that. So guys like Capella, Looney, Mitchell Robinson, Rob Williams, who you almost can forget exists. He's been hurt so much. Those are guys who I'd love to have. But if you think Steve-O's coming back and he's going to be fine, then there's no need to make that move. If you're going to move on from Steven, do it.
I said it earlier, bro. Like, he looked okay in the preseason. And apparently wasn't healthy. You know what I'm saying? Like, his game is not really it's not dependent upon his athleticism. Like, he's a hub on offense, and everything else is him setting screens, getting drop offs, or getting rebounds. Like, he's not gonna – I don't see him, like, falling off. Everybody's like, we don't know what he's gonna look like. So, he's not gonna lose his brain. Like, he's gonna still be a smart passer. He's still gonna have a high IQ on the floor. If he comes back healthy, you find that center. Like, at that point – now, if he gets injured next year, again, like, now we got to have a conversation of he's an expiring contract. Let's move on from him. But, like, shout out to Sean Colvin. That's my guy. But, like, he was saying, like, let's go ahead and make a trade for Wendell Carter Jr. Bro, he's younger than Steve-O, but he has just as much injury problems. Like, it's no point of making a move just to make a move at this point. I only say make a move again if you can get a fourth piece early. Like, I don't want to say wait and then let's just throw somebody out there like Cam Johnson. Another team comes in and just gets him at the trade deadline for nothing when we could have went up there and did something. So if you can't get a guy that's going to help you, just sit tight. And I guess you got to wait till the summer. But yeah, like just let the young guys that we got do what they got to do, make your moves to do some type of consolidation at some point, and move on. This season is all about, at this point, watching what we got grow and see what you can add just as far as the future pieces, because it's a wrap.
Yeah, and honestly, it's like he's saying, we just want a backup center that can catch the ball. And actually, completely unrelated to the center, we got D'Angelo, David Vickers, and Heaven's Healthy Kitchen talking about the grease on the guy's hands tonight. Listen, this is a David Roddy positive show. He loses the ball a lot on triple moves. It's painful. Unless, I know, if you want somewhere without grease on your hands, check out Heaven's Healthy Kitchen. They've got a lot of good food that's not going to sit there and give you a rumbly tummy like the Taco Bell I had earlier, because I forgot to get dinner before the game started. But, yeah, as far as this goes, I know people trade the pick, don't trade the pick. Listen, if you're in the top 15 of the NBA draft, you're going to have a shot at some talent. You may get it, you may not, but – once upon a time, Trey Murphy III was like, ugh, whatever, who's this guy? And then we traded the top 10. And now what would we do to have Trey Murphy III, right? So I'm on your side. If you can get real value with that pick, put in a package or something that helps you 2024, 2025, and beyond, do it. If not, keep that pick. Go get you somebody in the draft. Make something happen, because there's talent all up and down there, and it's always guys that you had no idea would be good, like the 30th pick, Desmond Bane. There's always guys like that. So we'll see what happens. But for now, we are just trucking along, man. Just coming here, seeing what we can do the rest of the season. Listen, come here, Memphis Streetcars comment section. Come here for some positive vibes. We're going to keep each other company. We're going to see what kind of youth talent we have. We're going to sit here and just grieve together in the chat. I think we've all reached the acceptance stage of grief, so we're all just laugh along at this point. But yes, after every game, we'll be here in the Grizz 9-1 post game, and hopefully I'll get my guy Chris in here sometimes too, because Daniel needs to be taken out a peg. I think this is what happened. God was just like, listen, we gotta take this guy down a notch. He's this massive a-hole, you know, just people really hate him, don't want to work with him, so they decided, God decided to make him sick. But Chris, appreciate you coming on, man. That's always a lot of fun having you on here. Anything coming up that we need to know? Are we going to get maybe some no bluffing spaces soon, or is that still TBD?
It's coming back, bro. Like, I'm like you. I'm in the same boat. You know, I gave you my congratulations. You expecting? I'm any day now, bro. Like,
yeah.
I thought we thought something was going to come out last week. So we'll see what happens. It's, you know, anybody that's had, you know, kids before, and I'm on number two, so trying to keep up a toddler and help out here and there. We'll see. I want to get that going back, though, because it was really good conversations we were having with the No Bluffing Spaces. A little bit different than some of the other Twitter spaces where, like, you just come in and it's a, you know, a panel, and we just having back and forth debate about certain topics. Almost like, you know, podcast style. So it was enjoyable. So we'll try to get back to that soon, TBD. But I do plan on getting the podcast episodes back out. Even though, like you said, it's, we ain't got a lot to look forward to this season, there's still some conversations we can have. So I got a couple people in the pipeline too, so stay tuned for that. Y'all gonna make, you know, be excited for the guys or guests that we have coming on. But just stay tuned. Go ahead and follow the page right there. Yeah, that right there.
Somewhere that general direction that way. Yeah, nailed it. Let's go. That's a good guess. No, listen, I'm excited for you to get back to it, man. That's those spaces are always awesome, and like the show's always been awesome. So excited for it, Fortunately, even if nothing for the Grizzlies is working, the Grizz 901 Bluff City media crew seems to keep putting in work. So we got babies coming out left and right, it seems like, at this point. So shout out us, I guess. But, you know, we'll end it on this comment right here from our guy, Heaven's Healthy Kitchen. Here for the good, the bad, and the ugly. We're going to be here for the good, the bad, and the ugly. And we're going to find a way to have fun, man. Like, listen, I will go off on a referee rant at some point throughout the season. That's going to happen again. There's too many games left for me to not. But Generally speaking, we'll come in here for good vibes and for some positive content. But we're going to wrap it up. Next game is on Monday, MLK Day game. We will be back for that show. I think Daniel, as long as he is back to good health, will be back as well. So we'll be back to it coming in here, hopefully after a Grizz surprise win. We'll see if Jaren plays. But Chris, can't thank you enough, man. Thanks for hopping in on a Saturday night. I know you've got a pregnant mama there you got to go take care of, so let you get back to her. But keep coming back. keep having fun with us. I know Chris gets in the comments every once in a while too. So somebody get back and forth with them, talk about how good Dylan Brooks is. But
oh boy.
Listen, everybody be safe during the winter storm. Seriously, keep it safe. Sure. There's a lot of stuff going on here, actually in Utah as well. So keep it safe. And until next time, be nice, Chris. Tell your friends.